Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday. Ouch. The long slog begins 3 hours from now. The long slog. 2 days. No radio, no you guys, no nothing. Hoops practice tomorrow. Got some futzing around with the computers to do. It's not like there won't be anything to do Saturday and Sunday. It's just that one thing which Agnes and I, for the most part, love to do as much or more than anything else around here, to wit, this show. We won't. But, of course, a promotion, a reminder, our good friends John and Bruce will be on the air tomorrow evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time with Fourth Estate Radio. And Sunday night, we'll be listening in to Bruce with All Things Reconsidered. You can catch the Fourth Estate at FourthEstateRadio.com, and you can catch Bruce's All Things Reconsidered at AllThingsReconsidered.org. Okay, we square on all of that? Good. Now, the continuing story is still whether or not there will be a filibuster of that hateful little pinch-faced, bespectacled weasel, Sammy Alito. Oh, there he goes, calling names again. You know, I've gotten a complaint, you know, about me name-calling. And frankly, that is such a bogus, bug-sprayed-up argument, but it's something you typically hear from the right.
Yeah, they call names there.
What they like to call calling names is what I like to call using language. Can you imagine... Pick a novelist. Faulkner, Thomas Wolfe. You know, sentences three paragraphs long that are nothing but adjectives and descriptives. Is Samuel Alito a pinch-faced, sour, surly-looking, weaselly little dude? Is he? I mean, when you hear some winger complaining about liberals name calling, when you hear someone do that, please remember that in under that standard, editorial cartoonists would be outlawed. Do you see what I mean? How many times have you seen an editorial cartoon of George Bush drawn as a chimpanzee? Well, that is the visual equivalent of name-calling, isn't it? Our good friend Mitch sent me an editorial cartoon today that, well, it frankly knocked me out of my chair and just about had to administer the Heimlich maneuver to Agnes from the laughing. It was an editorial cartoon, I believe, from the Washington Post that showed George Bush as Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I realize I am on deadly radio ground when you're down to describing editorial cartoons, you know, but no, you know, with the hand and the ring and the palm in the foreground and the little Gollum-y head in the background that was clearly George Bush, and the ring said executive power and it was laying in his hand, and all there was to the cartoon was my precious. I wonder if the hiss got through. We've got a de-esser on the compressor. We'll never find out. So you see what I'm getting at here. When you hear someone talking, and it's always routinely, it's some so-called moderate or centrist, or else it's an outright Republican who will say, "You're lowering the civil discourse." No, we're not. We are being factual. We are being factual by virtue of comparison. So, you know, I don't bite on that stupidity. Oh, by the way, just for the fun of it, because you might enjoy knowing what our betters are up to. You know, the Family Values Bunch. Oh, come on, there you are. Load for me. Yeah, our dear leader believes in family values, right? Last Saturday night in Washington, D.C., there's a new hangout called the Play Lounge. And they have, you know, it's a hot little bar, and you got it, you know, with the ropes, and you got to slip the dude a 50 or a, you know, or a Benjamin Franklin, and you know, unless you're really A-list material. And they had their theme for the evening was broken resolutions. Oh, that's creative. It was billed as a celebration of vice. There were cigarette girls passing out smokes and chocolate and condoms. For all I know, smoking chocolate condoms were being passed out. There were bottles of Grey Goose vodka on all the tables. Listen, I don't give a damn. Do what you want to do. I'm not one of those Republican monsters who's going to tell you how to live your life. But by God, if you're part of the crowd that says you're better than us and holier than us, then you best not be seen there. But guess who was? God, I feel like some sort of gossip columnist. Who was there? Well, that's right. Jenna and Barbie were there, carousing the night away. Barbie wore, was it Barbie? Yeah, Barbie. I wonder if Barbie wore her skin-tight lime green strapless dress with the seafoam green. Yeah, seafoam green. Thank you, Agnes. I don't know from green. With the seafoam green matching alligator skin pumps that she wore when they went to visit the natives in Africa. God. The Hill newspaper is reporting all of this, and it is described as a place that could have made a sailor blush. Dancers clad in fishnet stockings, handcuffs, and police hats spun suggestively around a pole. Here it is. Barbie was attired in a sexy yet perfectly tasteful sequin-trimmed tank top as she sat sipping her cocktail. Jenna, ever the wild one, that's the blonde, was spotted standing, some say dancing, on the sofa. That's according to Hill reporter Jeff Dufour. Secret Service agents, remember we talked about the Uniform Secret Service Division? These dudes were not in uniform. They had, left the dark suits with the skinny black ties and the white shirts and the black fedoras and the Ray-Bans behind. They opted instead for club attire, whatever the hell that is. So, you know, there's your fashion update. There's your family values update. You know, this is, frankly, this is none of my business. It's none of anyone's business. But please remember, the Republicans, he did it again, the Republicans have made it their business, so they become fair game, don't they? Yeah, as I said, I've gotten some email. Let's see. After my comments last night about Senator Byrd and how he has spit on all of us, I got compared. Hell, I got called a Nazi. I got called a Nazi for speaking truth about Senator Byrd. And, by the way, I'm also apparently a homophobe, because we run a little promo for the Fourth Estate that makes passing reference to George Michael. See, this is the thing. You try to do the right thing, you be inclusive, you make one false step, you get emails telling you you're the enemy. Oy vey, what's a guy to do? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
If you get caught, is the agency going to come forward and say it's okay, he works for us?
No. I'm out in the cold on this one, Shelb. If I get caught, they shred my records, they say they never heard of me, and it's 20 years in the slammer.
You give me love so sweetly.
That crazy little bastard, he's involved your poor father in something.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at 3 times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, Point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Welcome back. Coming up on 21 minutes after the hour, Friday night. Anything goes as far as I'm concerned. I keep thinking about the water I carried for Senator Byrd. How glad he was to have my money, your money, our money. And frankly, it makes me want to gag. Although I've been told by copious numbers of listeners who have called in, they're not called in, but emailed to the program, that attempts to reach Senator Byrd's Washington office were nigh unto impossible today. He was so swamped with phone calls, the voicemail was on, and then when you got the voicemail, you got, "This mailbox is full. Please try again." So several resourceful souls took time to call his Charleston office, and a couple were informed, informed me, our friend, among others, our friend Sarah, informed me that, well, the staff in the Charleston office said there was some mighty angry messages going to Senator Byrd's office. Good on you guys. Good on you. If he wants to be a backstabbing old bastard, he's more than welcome to be one. But that also entitles us to let him know that we know that he is. So, you know, if you did it today, great. If you weren't able to get through, try the Charleston office. And moreover, if you want, you've got until 4:30 on Monday to get your point across. After that, you'll just if he goes ahead and slips the shiv between our ribs, you'll have to just tell him that you can't vote for him in the primary. And while you will not vote, if I'm talking to West Virginia voters here, I'm sorry, I don't mean to exclude anyone, but while you will not vote for his hateful, crazier than a sprayed roach competitor, opponent, John Racy, that you will leave his name blank. Okay. I mean, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But it's certainly an option for you. The phone number, of course, is 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. You're welcome to chime right in. It's your last chance till Monday. Bottling that stuff up, remember, can be bad for you. Andy is with us from Wales in the UK. Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad. You all right?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Is that democracy in action I hear there?
No, we're trying. I don't know if we're succeeding, but we're trying.
Well, you never know. I mean, I heard a bit of the Young Turks before I tuned into you, and there were... I can't confirm anything, and I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but they were talking about Mr. Byrd, Senator Byrd, whatever you want to call him, and saying that there was a very strong possibility he was going to go for the filibuster. He was going to back it up. And if he does, well, it's probably because he's got a whole bunch of like hateful emails and angry messages in his box, which are all well justified, I think.
Well, you know, I hope maybe what we're showing him, Andy, is that that we're, you know, we might be a little less coordinated than the religion industry, but we can generate our own level of contact.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, hey, if he wants to get reelected, he knows what he's got to do.
Yeah. And the thing is, he thought he was going to get reelected by just bowing and kowtowing and butt-kissing to the religious freaks.
I know. It surprises me, because, I mean, he's a fairly long-lived senator, isn't he? I mean...
Well, that's the thing. Part of the reason that he wants to be elected this time through, Andy, is that with this electoral cycle, if he can get elected in November of 2006, he will become the longest-serving senator in the history of that august body.
Right, because I was under the impression he wasn't quite there yet.
No, he's not. He's got to have this next term.
Right, because I thought he was further off it than that, because I was thinking, hang on a minute, you know, you survived this long in politics, you must have some moral compass to guide you. But no, I think he's trying to set records.
But then again, Andy, I don't think you have a moral compass to survive in politics in the United States. You might have an amoral compass.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is in the UK, but over here, you know, you go to one group and you tell them, Well, yeah, I mean, you know how it works.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean. An amoral compass is probably more accurate. Yeah.
No, but
what do we do? I mean, the politicians over here are just as bad. I mean, stupidity reigns supreme, really, when it comes to our elite leaders, apparently.
Well, I've got an email here from another friend of ours who says that he's finally come to the conclusion that it really is. Do you guys get professional wrestling in the UK like what we get over here?
Well, I think we get yours, yeah.
So, well, you understand when I say it's all wrestling.
Yeah.
It's a con. Yeah. We've got another listener who says he's come to the conclusion that that's the way it is with Democrats and Republicans here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, listen to Noam Chomsky. I mean, you must have heard of him, yeah?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I advise everybody out there to look on the web. I'm not going to advertise any particular web pages because I can't remember them, to be honest. But just type in Noam Chomsky, MP3s, downloadable, whatever, something like that. Whack that into Google or Yahoo, and you'll come up with a real good archive site where it's got loads of his speeches. And I suggest everybody who has a computer should go out and listen to some of his stuff because... I mean, what, is he the least spoken college professor in the USA or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he just talks total sense. And when he says that you've got two options, the good cop and the bad cop, and that's basically what you have. You have the Democrats and the Republicans, and they're both part of the same organization. That organization is, let's engage in a race to the bottom to increase our corporate wealth.
Well, there's that aspect, but there's also the desperate clutching at power.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? That's how they're sold to these corporations. The corporations go, hey, we can deliver you this, this, and this, and that means you'll win the vote. And so people go, ooh, I like this job. I like the stability. I like the healthcare. I like the fact that my kids go to the best school. And so they stick with it.
And the other thing is the two people who came out yesterday talking about, Byrd came out and said he was going to vote for Alito, and Mary Landrieu came out and said the Senate has too much work to do. These are both people operating out of terror.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely. Well, I mean, Mary Landrieu, isn't she the governor of
Senator from Louisiana.
Yeah.
So and she's scared to death
at the money to rebuild Louisiana.
Exactly. And
upset the Republicans.
And Byrd wants an overhaul of the Mine Safety and Health Administration, which the Bush administration has just thrown on the floor and shattered like Waterford Crystal.
Yeah, well, so, they're falling for the trap, aren't they? Because, I mean,
sure.
You fight for the little things that are important to your direct community, and you think your community don't care beyond their own borders. And while you're scrabbling about, you know, he's looking for mine safety, she's looking for money for Katrina, other people elsewhere are looking for other things, while you're doing that, they can just, well, you know, run people like Alito through into the Supreme Court and stuff like that. Keep you distracted.
Right, and the way they work it, Andy, is they tell him, you know, you let the Republicans say, look, you let him through, and we'll give you your Katrina stuff, and Senator Byrd will give you your mine safety stuff. But we're dealing, while some of it is wrestling, we're dealing with Republicans, and they would lie to God. They would lie to their own mother.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, they'd sell their own mother for glue, wouldn't they, if they could get away with it?
Yeah!
I mean, you know, they're people who have absolutely no compunction about anything, really. I mean, you know, I can't... It's hard for me to understand these type of people, and what's even harder is to understand those people that follow them tend to be almost diametrically opposite in their sort of feelings, you know?
Sure.
You know, the people that go, oh, you know, don't call the Republicans names, they're not that bad, and all that sort of stuff. It's like, have you guys opened your eyes and had a look recently? No? Ah, that explains everything.
Well, yeah. if you drink the Kool-Aid, it's going to have a rather profound effect on you, Andy. And the other part of this is, you know, if Landrieu wants Katrina money and if Byrd wants to reform mine safety, the way you do that is to be strong in the face of this opposition.
Yeah, and take control of the House and Senate and do it yourselves. It's the only way it's going to be done.
Yeah, I mean, Katrina's not going to be fixed day after tomorrow, and the MSHA is broken enough that it will take a Democrat majority House and Senate to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, people are kind of missing the point, aren't they? They're kind of, you need to fight it, you need to fight it, you need to fight it. And if the Republicans use this so-called nuclear option, let them. And then Alito gets through to the Supreme Court, and you will win the next election without trying.
Well, that's what they're going for anyway. They don't want to try.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous. You fight it all the way, because if they use the nuclear option, then as soon as you're in power... As soon as the Democrats are in control, then, well, goodbye all the Republican things that they want.
Yeah, that's,
goodbye all the tax cuts, goodbye all the all the presidential immunities. Who knows, you know?
Yeah. Well, that comes back to another of one of my theses, Andy. These guys are, you know, they're on the Republican side, they're not very smart.
No.
They're kind of shallow and transparent. They think they're going to have power forever. You know, it's sunshine in the morning for them, and they never see that the night comes.
Yeah, it is odd how they kind of all hook themselves up to one brain and hope for the best. There is no kind of, I don't know, it does seem to be one big web of corruption holding them all in power, and as it starts getting picked apart, I mean, you know, this is the thing people in the Democratic Party need to concentrate on. Ignore Bush as much as possible. Forget him, he's a joke. Attacking him won't get you anything. Nobody has any respect for the guy anyway, and if they do, they're nuts. So ignore them. You need to attack the congressional corruption. You need to keep hitting these guys, take money from corporations and trample all over the people of America's rights. You need to keep saying it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time you have an opportunity, you need to keep hitting home that the media in the whole is quite conservative and right-wing. And you keep hitting that, and then the media will go, oh no, they're calling us conservatives. Quick, let's be a bit more liberal. And you'll win that back. You know?
That is so true. That is absolutely so true.
How did the conservatives get control of CNN and ABC? Well, they got it by saying, you're liberal, liberal, you tried to say something.
You're absolutely right.
You have to do the same thing back. It's horrible, but it's the only way corporations think, you know, because you can't sit there and look at a corporate executive and have a conversation with him and assume what you just talked about as humans is what he'll do as part of a corporation, because he won't. Do you know what I mean?
A corporate executive has no human responsibilities, Andy.
No.
He has corporate responsibilities. He has responsibilities to shareholders and to the overall well-being of the corporation. It's only when we can create the nexus between human needs and corporate needs that you see a response from them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it leads on into the other realms of corruption that there are, doesn't it?
Was it Yeats that wrote Turning and Turning in the Widening Gyre? The Falcon cannot hear the Falconer? Yeah, that's that. Yeah. Andy, so good to hear from you. Hope you have a great Saturday morning there.
No, I'll do my best, man. Don't get too frustrated with those computers.
You know, I just kick them once in a while.
Yeah, that's the way, man.
All right, take care. Bye now.
Love to Agnes. Take care, man.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Love to Agnes.
Love to you too, Andy.
Okay, let's take our break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
On last week's Fourth Estate Radio, Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Back 23 minutes before the hour here at the fabulous Head-On Studios in our secure, undisclosed location in the heart of wild, wonderful, currently backstabbed by Robert Byrd, West Virginia.
Jeez.
You know, in the midst of all, I don't know, maybe try. For God's sakes, they can't take you away yet for trying to change this man's mind. You know, I got an email here from our old friend Gary. Hear it? It's a real email. Subject: sick. Anti-Manchin, anti-Bird. Bob, am I in an oxygen-deprived state, a coma? No way, it can't be. Regards. Shocked and stone sober. Gary, buddy, I thought you knew me better than this. I'm a Democrat because Democrats stand for the values that I stand for. You know, working people, middle class people. The Democratic Party built the freaking middle class. You know, the Democratic Party cleaned up after the heyday of Republican excess in the 20s. You know, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover. Those 12 years. Just like the Reagan-Bush 12 years took 8 years of Bill Clinton to clean up. My God, can you imagine if in 1940, if in the election of 1940, can you imagine if this country had put a Republican in the White House? With FDR still trying to clean up the Republican Depression, can you imagine that? Well, that's what happened. We went through all the economic hell and chaos and damnation that Ronnie Reagan took us through, and that Daddy Bush just pulled down upon his own head. And then we got Bill Clinton. And no, wait a minute. No, Bill Clinton was no FDR. Far from it. He was no liberal. But he at least tried to, you know, the middle class grew. The lower class prospered more than they had in over a decade under Bill Clinton. And then after 8 years of Bill Clinton, he had to go. And a bunch of absolute knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, America-hating morons. I mean, we're talking about certifiable, you know, don't have sense enough to go out in the rain with an umbrella, you know. Textbook gave us one of their own. And look what we're getting for it. And frankly, the people who go along with and enable that moron, I don't care if they're Republicans, Democrats, Greens, Birchers, Libertarians, Librarians. I don't care. I will call it when I see it. You know, it's the old thing about obscenity. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it. I know corruption when I see it. And when a man who holds himself out as the guardian, the physical manifestation of the very Constitution and the powers of the Senate and the Congress itself, when that person tells his state and his nation that he will abandon all principle to bow and kowtow to the religion industry and to presidential prerogative, I will call it. Because, among other things, like I've said before, the Republican Party in this country is irretrievably broken. You know, Dwight Eisenhower said in, 1953, 1954, somewhere in there, he said that any party which would call for an end to Social Security would in short order cease to be a national party any longer. The Republican Party made that call. We are days away from dear leader's State of the Union address, his fifth. We are days away from it. And only one short year ago, he made the call for the end of Social Security. Was it a year ago? This crap piles up so fast that I could swear it was 10 years ago. The fight was so hard. The fight was so desperate and bare-knuckled. And we beat him. And we showed that he could be beaten. That little near-brain-dead moron still has never used his veto crayon. He is a coward. And still, the members of my party have not figured out that all you gotta do is... We stood up to him once, and he backed away and sniveled in the corner. You know, his own party stood up to him and just bitch-slapped him over the Harriet Myers. And, you know, our party is standing around, you know, with the little teacup going, well, I'll be damned, would you look at that? His own party just bitch-slapped him. And can't take a lesson from it. I apologize to the ladies in the audience. It has occurred to me that what I just said was really, really insensitive. His own party rat-slapped him. Is that better? Seriously, I don't like to do that. I don't like to do things like that. I don't advocate domestic violence. That's the other side's job. You know, I'm not one of these people who believes, you know what the biggest problem with domestic violence? You know, women just don't know when to shut up. You know, I don't believe in that. I'm a human rights type. Yeah. You watch me try to lay a hand on a Agnes. They take me out in a basket, you know. But what I'm getting at, our party watched George Bush's party, his own people, absolutely tear him a brand new one over Harriet Myers, over a woman. Now, I don't know that she was competent. I have a strong inclination toward believing that she's an idiot and a fool, but it has nothing to do with gender. But we watched him do it, and the light didn't go on for us. All we got to do is stand up to him. It was a year ago that he proposed the end of Social Security and, according to Dwight Eisenhower, ensured that the Republican Party will eventually simply dissolve into the detritus and the backwaters of history and failed political movements. And yet, we've got appeasers like Robert Byrd. Appeasers. Uh-oh, it sounds like Agnes has a telemarketer on. One of these days we're going to build the little booth where, you know, that doesn't... But anyway...
That would be great. That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I think... Oh, they ran away. Damn. But do you see what I'm getting at? You know, I get called a Nazi because I tell it how it is. You know, thank heaven for you guys. I mean, you get it. You understand. We got an email from our friend Jim in New York. He said, "Bob, you spoke the truth last night. Please continue." I will. You know, I'm not going to be cowed. I'm not going to be beaten back from my point. The fact of the matter is, we have to call these demons what they are. You know, I've mentioned before, for those of you into the whole exorcist thing, you've got to, I rebuke thee, Satan. You got to do that. There is and there, figuratively speaking, that movement exists or is trying to exist. William Rivers Pitt, an excellent, excellent writer out of, Boston, former communications director for the Kucinich for President campaign for a time there in 2004. He has crafted a call for Democrats to simply get up and walk the hell out on George Bush during the State of the Union address. And I endorse that wholeheartedly. Do I think that Senator Byrd has that kind of guts? Nope. I don't think Senator... It would be disrespectful. It would be disrespectful. Think of, for those of you old enough, think of the footage you saw in the 70s whenever Leonid Brezhnev would address the Soviet Parliament, whatever it was called at the time. And all you saw was this footage of him standing behind the podium and then you get the camera pan to the audience and they're all... Yes, dear leader. Da! Da, dear leader. Da! And they're all one thing. You know, maybe some were agrarian communists and others were industrial communists. But, baby, they were all communists and they were all clapping like hell. And we'll get something close on a par with that Tuesday night. We'll get... The Republicans, you know, if George Bush farts, they'll give him a standing ovation for doing it. If he picks his nose, they'll get a standing ovation and a couple of hoo-ahs. And you understand? And then the Democrats will sit politely, you know, a little golf clap, not a real. He won't get any of those. The Democrats will register their profound displeasure by giving him a little golf clap. Oh, he made the putt. Oh, look at it. Oh, it just rolled in. Little golf clap. That's what you'll see. Now, I mentioned in our conversation with Andy an email we received from our good friend Larry in PA. He says, "I get loads of lofty rhetorical email from Harry Reid. I get reams of mail from Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. They, like all politicians, want money, money, and even more money. I even send $40 a month to the DNC. Yet today, after I received a solicitation from Senator Robert Byrd, now there's some bad timing on Byrd's part, I suddenly realized the Democratic agenda. You see, Larry says, Ralph Nader was absolutely correct. There is no difference between the two parties. They have a single agenda that dictates all of their actions. Is it the American way, truth and justice, desire to preserve the human species? Nay, I say, their only function is to assure their own survival no matter what. Senator Byrd may well keel over, clutching his tiny constitution, and that's acceptable as long as he gets re-elected. The lust for power and privilege has consumed these cretins to the point that they will don any hat, walk any walk, talk any talk, as long as they believe it will translate into votes. If praying wins votes, they pray. If burning crosses wins votes, they run for the kerosene. If saving fetuses wins votes, they scream to the Almighty to preserve life. If being minority-friendly is the path, they will put shoe polish on their faces. Jingoism, always fashionable, gushes like an oil derrick. Fakes, phonies, and frauds. What a mess. I'll still fight, but I must now divorce myself from these two Siamese twins called Donkey and Elephant. The Church of the Dollar Sign is open and doing a brisk business. I'm joining the Church of the Human Species. Screw the rest of them. I understand, Larry. We all do. And I think, I think one of the distinctions that we have to draw here is the distinction between a National Democratic Party and a local Democratic Party. Now, for me, my local, I've got access to local Democrats, and I've got a lot better chance of throwing them the hell out if they screw up. You see what I mean? On a national level, Larry said he sends $40 a month to the DNC. And I can understand that urge simply because Howard Dean is in there, and Howard seems like he is a horse of a different technicolor, so to speak. But, bear in mind, Robert Byrd. His re-election fundraising campaign committee is being headed by a guy by the name of Ned Rose, who is a nice guy. But this goes to what Larry said about what's the phrase here? It was really good. If praying wins votes, they pray. If burning crosses wins votes, they run for the kerosene. If saving fetuses wins votes, they scream to the Almighty to preserve life. If being minority friendly is the path, they will put shoe polish on their faces. This is that, because unless I am profoundly mistaken, and I do not believe that I am, Mr. Rose is the man who went to the Supreme Court of West Virginia and plans to go to the Supreme Court of the United States of America to argue that coal companies should not pay taxes in West Virginia. You heard me right. That's the chief fundraiser for Robert Byrd. Now, Do I share a commonality of purpose anywhere in that Venn diagram? I don't think I do. I mean, whether it's the bankruptcy bill or the class action reform that closed the courthouse door to maimed people, Byrd voted for that. I wouldn't have voted for either one of them. Byrd voted for John Roberts. I would not have voted for John Roberts. Robert Byrd has never said a cross word about mountaintop removal. Now, and see, this is the Hobson's choice that comes of having a two-party country. Because on the one hand, punched the Chad, marked the X, pulled the lever, whatever, for Robert Byrd time after time after time. And I did so in fairly good conscience because I knew every time that there was an absolutely monstrous Republican freak running against him. Well, I have come to the conclusion, A, there's no one running against him in the primary that I can use as a symbolic gesture. So all I can do is leave it blank this May. And unless I see him guard the Senate's rights and prerogatives on Monday at 4:30 by voting against cloture on Alito, Agnes and I will go door to door to encourage others to do so. And then after that, it's devil take the hindmost in November. You know, John Racey may have a lot of money, and he may be a well-connected media empire-owning Republican in this state. But that doesn't make him a viable challenger. So there we are. A party that won't fight with politicians who, well, I take that back, they will fight. They'll fight for your money. For you, not so much. You work at Walmart, you want to form a union local at Walmart, you're not going to get any help. Mm-mm. So, to a certain extent, with Robert Byrd, perhaps begins the winnowing of the wheat from the chaff. I think, in fact, it does. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have you know, all of this injustice in society, and why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Welcome back. 7 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob. Great email from our buddy Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. What psychosis is it where you think you hear messages for somebody else in the music the talk radio plays during breaks?
I wouldn't do that. Now would I, Ben?
No. Heck no, not Agnes. And from our buddy Hubert. My daddy always said, for every 4 years in office, 4 years in the federal pen. Lesser of two weasels, Bird versus Ripig. Bought and paid for and paid for and paid for by Bird Brains for Bird. Now, there is an, this little bit of Judas business on the part of Bird has stirred a lot of deep-seated anger in this state. You know, it was kind of cool for a while there to have a really famous senator who got up on the floor of the Senate and said stirring things about our power-crazed little weirdo in the White House. But it comes to nothing. It comes to nothing if he won't act in the heat of the moment. If he won't do what he's called upon when we need him to. If he won't do what we need him to at the moment when we most need it done, it's pointless, isn't it? It's pointless. Let's go to the phones. Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're Head On.
Hello.
How you doing?
Just got back from the AFB.
Yeah?
It's the Minot Air Force Base. Took men to shop for the day over there.
Uh-huh.
And ordered stuff up with some groceries. Because, you see, this old warhorse has an ID card. And he also has a sticker on his car and put him on any military installation within the continental United States, and if I can fly it overseas, I can put it on any base over there, too. And you know what? I've been compared to a PTSD a worried veteran, and I've been compared to a guy that's got deep in his cups. And maybe I'm a little bit of both.
Well, you know, far be it from me to criticize anyone for their passion or for their pursuits.
But it's not passion nor pursuit. It's patriotism, Bob.
That's right.
And guess what? You did it right. You they called you all kinds of names, you know, and guess what? Remember when you was a little boy? They used to call you sissy boy or whatever, you know, and then
I bloodied my knuckles on a few of those.
Yeah, your dad would say, well, son, you know, it ain't right to punch somebody's nose. It ain't. And it's not. It really isn't. But there comes a time between fight and flight when you decide, okay, I'm either going to stand my ground or I'm going to tuck my tail between my legs and run.
Yeah.
Okay? And this ain't running time. This is stand up, and we'll take our shots. But guess what? What that Gandhi said? You know, first they attack you, okay?
Yeah.
They call you names, and they, you know, and then they attack you, and then you win. You know?
Yeah.
It's that simple. And we're right at the birth. If we do not stand, and they can attack us. And let them attack us. Let them use their slurs and their filthy language and their, you know, and their vile, vulgarities, okay?
Yeah.
And call you a homophobe? I couldn't see it. There's no question. I served with a man from Vietnam. I never knew that he was that way. Okay? 2 silver stars he won.
Yeah, and you didn't much care, did you?
No, no. He saved men on the battlefield, okay? But he was a caring person. He cared enough to risk his life over and over again until they gave him 2 silver stars. Okay?
Yeah.
And I never knew that he was gay until we were back in Hawaii. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that he ever propositioned me because he knew I was straight.
Yeah, sure.
See? And it was just that we were, I knew him as a fellow Marine and as a friend. And the thing is, I'll say this first. His name is Joe, okay?
Yeah.
And his last name belongs to me and to those that knew him. He was a fine Marine. I mean, but he was gay as a, you know, whatever, a $3 pitcher of beer.
Sure.
But he was, whatever. It's just, you can put a handle on something, and you can put a name on something, and you can call it something, but until you know the person, and, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're gay or straight. It doesn't matter whether you're liberal or a conservative. And I don't know, there's a lot of blurring in between the two. And whether you're but there is a difference between communism and fascism and Nazism, and I don't know what, I don't know that there is an opposite to Nazism. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's an opposite to it, because...
Well, you know, we've always been told that the opposite of Nazism and fascism is communism, but I don't necessarily see it that way. It all smells like dictatorship to me.
Okay. Nazism is pure evil, okay?
Yeah.
And anything that's not pure evil, I mean, everybody's got their little quirks. Everybody's a little bit strange. Everybody's a little different. Like, maybe I get a few beers with you one night, and I call up this guy named Bob Kincaid. And I say to him, I say, hey, Bob, I'm just this old warhorse. And mm-hmm. I am a warhorse. I got the medals. I got the damn record. I got the papers to prove it. It doesn't mean anything. It gives me a pedigree that somebody else don't have. Okay?
Sure.
I go shop on base, and I'm an old... wore out. You know, they still let me go shopping in the commissary. Okay?
Yeah.
They let me go shopping in the commissary. I got to go see a medical doctor on base. If I want to see a medical doctor, no, I have to see them because they continually check me. And today they must have took, I don't know, 8, 9, maybe 10 vials of blood out of my arm. They always do it that way. Well, not always 8 or 10, but this time they got more tests they want to run. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I was in the commissary and yelled to them. You saw the base vampire today. I said, yeah, I always see them. They always want to drink my blood.
Blah. Okay?
Yeah, they want to take my blood, but they want to take it to test it, to run it through their little test and find out if I'm, you know, going to make it the next week or not. Here's the problem that I see.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when they're throwing slurs at you, just grin back at them and say, thank you, sir. Can I have another? And you have the stones to get in here, because I'll take you on. And I say to Robert Byrd, our statesman, okay?
Yeah.
Be a statesman and quit being the wimp you are, okay? Because right now he's wimping to the other side. And if you don't get on the horse and ride the damn thing, it's time for him to get off it. And that means that you and all those within the state of West Virginia have an obligation to go find a real Democrat, okay?
Yeah.
Put him into the primaries. I mean, find one. You've got lots of them. They're coming back from the... I mean, I talk to kids every day, and I talk to kids on base. I talk to... They went in with this, you know, this Republican nonsense. And with all the stuff that their parents fed them, most of the parents never served. Most of them have no idea, but they're into this, like you call it, a religious nonsense. I don't know, religious, you know, these zealots.
Indoctrination, sure.
Okay. And they've been indoctrinated all their lives. They go in. I was talking with a young lady, her husband, 22 years in the Air Force. Has was looking at retiring here this last year, and they decided that he couldn't retire because they were going to send him to Afghanistan, and he just left. Okay. mm-hmm. at 23 years now. Okay, at 22, they were going to retire at 22. But now they kept him. See, so they're stretching guys that even want to retire that have reached the age of retirement or the point of retirement and using them and, well, basically saying, well, if you don't accept the assignment, your retirement don't mean nothing. You know?
Well, you know, with some of the guardsmen, I don't know if you've seen this, Bob, or not. With some of the guardsmen, we know one guy that went to Iraq who was in the guard, and under what's that phrase they use? It's not force protection. It's where they extend your hitch. I forget the exact phrase for it. But he was due to get out in a year's time, and he showed us his ID. His ID now says. Date of separation 2035.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine says indefinite.
for the duration or something like.
Mine says indefinite. It, you know, when I die, then it expires. That's how far I'm into this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
My ID says indefinite. My son, 12 years old, he carries a DOD ID. Yeah. My wife carries a DOD ID, and it's just that simple. I have been there, done that. The thing is, they have turned it on its head, because these guys, some of them are saying, hey, you know, this war, this stupidity, this bungling administration, but still, they don't have a choice, okay?
Uh-huh.
See, you have a choice, and all of your listeners have a choice. They can get up in the morning, stick a yellow sticker in the back of their trunk and say, I support the troops. Well, let's ask them a question, okay? Mm-hmm. How many of you, oh, you red-blooded Americans, have sent 2 cents worth of anything to the USO, okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
USO does more to support our troops, to give them donuts, to give them just a warm place to come in out of the snow or just to go in and have a, you know, but how many support the USO? No, they'll buy these damn yellow stickers that says, I support George Bush.
Yeah, you know how much those yellow ribbon magnets made in China, you know how much, I mean, I looked at one in the convenience store, Bob, you know how much they cost?
Mm-hmm.
I saw them for $6.95.
Yeah.
You know, and your point is so well made. Take the $6.95, subtract the cost of the stamp, and send the rest of it to the USO.
Don't even subtract the stamp.
Yeah, you probably got one laying around.
Send a self-addressed stamp letter, okay?
Yeah.
Send a self-addressed thing to the USO that says, you know, when I send you the $6. At least I'd like a thank you. And guess what? If you send them a self-addressed, self-stamped envelope, they will send you a beautiful letter of thank you. They will send you one that you can hang on your wall and you can stick it to the trunk of your car and say, I really support them.
Yeah, it means a hell of a lot more than any stupid little magnet.
Yeah. Then you can show your friends. You see that? I send money to the USO and I support the troops. And guess what? Besides supporting them, I've gone to a VA hospital, and I've visited, and I've gone in, and I've seen what they're doing, you know, where the veterans that are coming home are being neglected by all these patriotic, red-blooded, true-blue Americans, okay? And guess what? They're not. I mean, they say, oh, I don't know how many of their sons and daughters. How many of whose sons and daughters are serving? How many of them are liberal? How many of them are conservative? We don't have a liberal or a conservative bent in the United States Armed Forces. Because when you check in, you check your politics, son.
But I understand your point, Bob, but is that necessarily true? When Armed Forces radio carries an hour of Rush Limbaugh every day, but they can't be bothered to carry anything approaching a progressive or liberal point of view? I mean, isn't there a rather ham-fisted effort to politicize the military?
No, there is a I don't know how many reviewers or yourself have ever seen the movie or the documentary about a. It's called The Rose Garden, okay?
Uh-huh.
About Jewish children in World War II that were were summarily executed. They weren't subversives. Okay? They were just children that had been put into like an orphanage in France in the German solution, or the not the German. I keep saying
I understand.
Okay, I get across the Nazi solution when they were being forced out of Europe by the Allied forces, rather than to turn these children over to the Allied forces and just abandon them. They hung them one by one, and their body weight was so light that as they hung them, they strangled. They couldn't, you know, the body weight wasn't heavy enough to snap the neck, so that the Nazi the caretakers, or whatever you want to call them, would wrap their arm about the waist of the child and pull until the neck snapped. The children wept, they cried, they begged, they pleaded, and they died. And at the Nuremberg trials, there was a thing thrown up there about the slaughter of these children. And the judges came up with the answer, well, they didn't really torture and then mutilate. They just deprived them of their life. It wasn't that they did something really evil. They just deprived them of their life. And it was kind of covered over, but someone planted a rose garden. And it's called the Rose Garden. I don't know. You might have to go online to find it if you got the courage to look at it. But when you do, if you got a heart, if you got a soul, you'll realize that, you know, we are dealing right now with the same kind of Nazis, because they are here, they are real, and they're in our country. They call themselves the Christian conservatives or the neocons. They changed their...
The Family Coalition.
They changed their name. They changed the way you should look at them. They're not really chameleon, because they are always the same. They're evil, Bob. They're ugly. And they will kill your children. They will kill them. They have no...
compunction.
They will kill those beautiful babies. I mean, they will destroy that lovely wife of yours, Agnes. I just love her voice. And I she said she'd bite your ankles. I said, never. I know. What they call you? Something about a...
homophobe, Nazi. You know, I got the whole thing.
Well, what was the thing about the woman thing? Like you said something bad.
No. Well, nobody said that. I just kind of caught myself being sort of misogynistic, and I was rather ashamed
when
of myself.
You came up with it. She was just sitting there saying, "Yeah, well, see, but you weren't talking about a man striking a woman and calling it bitch slapping, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about men, you and me, okay?
Yeah.
If I had the opportunity to say to you something that was rude and crude and obnoxious, you might bitch slap me, but that would be a man bitch slapping another man, and that is punking another man, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to punk Robert Byrd. We're going to jap slap him. Now, that's a word that goes back to World War II. When you jap slap somebody, you slap him so hard on one cheek, but before he has a chance to react, you slap him back with a backhand on the other cheek twice as hard. That's jab slap, okay? It wakes them up, and they can't turn their head fast enough to, you know, you just bang, bang. It's one side to the other side. It's called a jab slap.
Okay.
From now on, it's no more bitch slapping. We're going to jab slap these boys until their eyeballs pop open. It's called jab slap.
Well, I think that may be some of what's been going on for the last couple of days, Bob.
Well, it's about time we jab slap them until they pee their pants or stand up like men and... You know, they look at you, and you look in their eyes, and there's fight in there, and you say, okay, let's go to war. Because we're at war with the Republicans. They are neo-Nazis. I don't care. You can call them Republican. If they want to stand up and say, I'm a conservative, I will stand shoulder to shoulder with them, just like I went to war for Ike.
Well, you know that we know that we're getting across with people like Byrd. Our friend Rick in Wisconsin wrote in to say that he had tried to reach Senator Byrd's office, and he got the voicemail. Then the voicemail said the mailbox was full, and then it just disconnected him. And he said, "Well, you know, you can." He said, "How nice of him to just take the phone off the hook." You know, when they get to that point, you know that they don't like what they're getting. But you know, if they don't like what they're getting, don't do the evil things.
What did you do? What did you do when you were summarily executed?
Oh, you mean over at the station in Beckley?
Yeah. What did you do when you were summarily executed? Did you just kind of roll over like a cur dog and just kind of tuck your tail?
No, I tried to be really decent about it. I tried to be nice about it, and more than anything else, I tried to let the folks who had bothered to, who had shared their time with me listening.
Wrong. You're wrong.
I'm wrong?
Right. You tried to be. No, you're wrong in what you did. You know what you did?
What did I do?
You got off all fours, stood up on both your hind legs, and took it like a man, and then you went out there and you found a way to get back at them. You came at them, and you're coming at them strong, and keep going the way you're going because, excuse me, like I said, I'm an old man, and I'm close to the end, so it don't make much difference. I'm kind of like Bob Byrd.
Nah, I think there's a lot of fight left in you, Bob.
Well, that's what Agnes said, but I'm an old war horse. I'm not ready to strap on a 16 and go out there and take them in the trenches. The only way I can do it is with my words and my, if I got any wisdom, it's from wisdom born of pain. And I talked to my doc today, and I said, you know, there's a problem. You know, you're too soon old and too late wise, you know?
Yeah.
Soon old and too late wise. Well, it's time that those of us that were there, okay, and I'm talking to the guys that, you know, I have many friends that worked in special ops and black ops and all kinds of stuff back then, and to come up and just open up and tell the truth, get it out there and keep hammering it at them, keep throwing it at them, and there's a bunch that are doing it. There's a bunch that are just sitting back and, you know, they're still stuck in that old thing where, you know, USA, USA, USA.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that simple. We live in a world community, and if we don't start acting like good citizens in this community, you know, what do they do to a poor citizen in any community?
Yeah, they'll make you disappear. I mean, they'll destroy you.
No. You're ostracized. I had... You're ostracized. Okay.
You're a non-entity.
Like the Vietnam veteran, you know, I stayed in the military for one reason, Bob. When I first came home for my first tour, it was bad. The second tour, that's when I met Bob. It was terrible, Ben. I mean, we were really ostracized, okay?
Yeah.
And so I stayed with the people that where I felt at home. And when I go over to the air base, that's the way I feel when I go on base. I meet people, and I feel at home. I go into a store here in here where I live in this here town. And, you know, it's not a large town. You saw that on the map. It's just a little drop in the water. But I came here for a reason, to get the hell away from it all. But guess what I found?
What's that?
I found the same kind of people I grew up with.
Yeah.
When I first came here, it was like being back in the 50s when I was a kid. And the people were like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they have that same, newspeak think?
Yeah.
Or double think?
Right.
Because I asked them, I said, hey, you know, how many books you read this year? A book? A year?
Book? Book?
Book? I read a book a week.
Yeah.
A book a week, you know, but they're not these.
Yeah, we got to hit it. We're there. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Have a great weekend, all right?
You too, and just tell Agnes, Glenda loves her, and William loves her. I do too. And guess what, Bob?
What's that?
This is one man to another man. I love you, son.
Love you too, man.
I love you because you are who you are, what you are. And love is not a dirty word.
No, it's not.
Never has been.
Maybe the only word that saves us yet, Bob. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and go straight to the phones. And you know, got a couple of lines open. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
We happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood's cheap, whiles any speaks that fought with us.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Since so many people harp on me for being negative and only talking about how lousy things are, I thought I'd let people know about the good things that are happening. Because believe it or not, good things are happening. First, there's Al Gore, who continues to speak out on important issues in a way that's making him hard to ignore. Some are even calling on him to run for president again. Second, as I speak, Senator John Kerry, along with Senator Ted Kennedy and Minority Leader Harry Reid, are leading a filibuster to try to prevent Judge Sam Alito from sitting on the Supreme Court. Whether they can hold a filibuster or not remains to be seen, but I think it's significant that they're willing to stand up and fight for this. And then there's Governor Howard Dean, chairman of the Democratic National Committee. He was on the Today Show this week, where host Katie Couric tried to push the Republican lie that Jack Abramoff gave money to Democrats. Dean would have none of it and stood his ground firmly. Gore, Kerry, and Dean have taken a lot of criticism for their election losses, but the truth is that every Democrat running for national office faces a huge uphill battle. Not only do they have to go up against a well-paid, well-oiled Republican propaganda machine, they also have to go up against the so-called professional media that's clearly against Democrats and liberals. Those are some pretty formidable obstacles. True, we still have a long way to go, but a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And I believe we're headed in the right direction. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with us this evening. This is my kind of Friday night. Gene has been waiting forever out in Oregon. Let's go straight to the phones. Hey, Gene. Have you seen
Junior's grave? Hey, Bob.
You're head on. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How's your Friday?
Wet.
Well, you know, it comes with the turf up there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I had a question about, I was running around last night getting ready for adult religious education class at the UU Church, and I didn't hear about, you were talking about the bill to ban sodomy at the workplace kind of thing.
Yeah.
And basically it said the CEO had to set policy, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically this whole thing is an attack on investors' rights disguised as an anti-gay bill.
That, well, yeah.
Okay, I'm sure somebody already came up with that suggestion or figured that out, but I wasn't sure. So, I was just curious about that because, you know, it's how they slip in. It's like, who cares about the gay folks or the disabled or whoever, and then pretty soon it's like, well, you know, you really don't need that overtime.
Well, sure, it's incrementalism, and it's no different. And I apparently irritate people when I do this, Gene. I don't mean to, but it's the same incrementalism that you saw in 1930s Germany. I'm sorry, but it is. You know, first it's the it's the disabled, it's the people with birth defects. After that, it's gay people. Then it's the Jews. Then it's the gypsies. It's just, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny. I have one last comment, and then I'll take off. It's funny. I would think with this kind of thing, though, if I were in the investor class, Bush's base, I'd begin to wonder just how friendly he was to me. You know.
Well, yeah, I do know what you mean. And that's the thing. For a long time, there's been sort of this unified field of so-called conservatism, Gene. It ain't there anymore.
Yeah. I think it's breaking, but with this Alito thing, they're trying to get that last little push. Because if he gets, it's going to be heck to get rid of any of them. Anyway.
Well, Gene, you're right. Don't run away yet.
Okay.
Because the whole point here, again, with this incrementalism, is that we know that Alito has written opinions that say that corporate employers can have bias against blacks, against the disabled, against gays. He has written opinions that say that employers should have the right to discriminate against anyone they want to, not on the basis of their ability to do the daggum job, but on the basis of the color of their skin, or what happens when the lights go off, or how well they walk, or any of that. He said they've got that right.
Wait till they get around to gender and say, oops, you're pregnant? Well, gee, you really ought to be home for having the baby now, so on and so forth, et cetera.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I'll talk at you later.
Thank you so much, Gene. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay.
Have a great weekend now.
Bye-bye.
Take care. I can think of so-called conservative people that kind of thing should just scare the bejesus out of them. Because, in essence, Alito says that you can make it up as you go along. You know, you don't like dark-skinned people? Okay, don't hire them. You don't like gay people? Don't hire them. And here's the really seedy, sleazy part of it all. If you don't like them, that means you get to ask them about it. You know, the are you now or have you ever been kind of questions on an employment application. This is the America that the Alitos and the Scalias and the Robertses and the Thomases, this is the America that they hope to create. This is the America that lives within their dreams. This is the America that is the subject of their prayers as they sit bedside on their knees every blessed night. Does that scare you? Does it make you sick? It absolutely just gobbles holes in my gut. We're talking about every single advance made from the Women's Property Rights Act to the freeing of the slaves forward. You know what? We're talking about loosing the dogs of religious bigotry. Memo to Baptists? What happens when the employer wants you to convert to Roman Catholicism to have a job? Huh? What happens? You gonna do it, or are you gonna say, I got my religious liberties? Well, tell it to Sam Alito, because he's going to tell you that the employer has a right to demand that you bow a knee to Rome, as you are so fond of saying. In Alito world, an employer has the right to tell you that you got to be one of them Mary worshippers that you hate so much. That's the problem with bigotry, cons. Sooner or later, somebody's going to be bigoted against you. What happens to you Catholics when they tell you that you must forswear the church into which you were baptized, and which is in fact the longest standing of any church? You know, you guys in the Orthodox and the other, the Roman Orthodox, the Serbian Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox. You know, the oldest churches on earth. What happens when the Dobsons get their way and you have to forswear your Christianity in favor of theirs? Huh? That's the problem with the sliding scale of religious hate. That's where we're headed. That's the guy that you want on the Supreme Court. You okay with that? Is that what you want? I don't want that. I want me, for me and for my wife and for my family, I want us to be free, as the First Amendment guarantees, I want us to be free to believe or not to believe. I want us to have what is guaranteed to us, not only freedom of religion, but by God, freedom from it. Holy cow, what if we all have to become Mormons? I don't even know where to buy the special underwear. Yes, dear?
That means you can get a couple more wives, Bob.
I got enough.
I'll share.
I don't want to.
As long as they'll do housework.
One's plenty. Wow. What? Jehovah's Witnesses. What if it's Jehovah's Witnesses? What if we have to spend our Saturdays and our Sundays driving up and down little back roads passing out copies of the freaking Watchtower? Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to. And by the way, well, never mind. There aren't any conservative Unitarians. What the hell am I thinking? Let's take a break. We'll be back. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Oh, my God. We're going to have to be Moonies. That's it. They want us to be Moonies!
Here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scrub, Chicago,
and it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scrub, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
I should probably give the phone number out again. It's 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your DJ is the fabulous Agnes. God, if we ever get her a couple of turntables, she'll be dangerous.
I don't know about being fabulous, but just a lot of anger there.
Thanks for joining in tonight. Email's easy, too, by the way. Bob@headonradio.com. Listen, sooner or later we were going to have to get to this. Take your antiemetics. Get out the Imodium or whatever. From today's Washington Post. Dear God, it's another one of those stories. The U.S. Army in Iraq has at least twice... Am I still in the same universe? I mean, is this like the United States where, you know, George Washington, Father, I cannot tell a lie, all of that? The U.S. Army in Iraq, I mean, is this the same country that that yielded military men of such nobility and genius? The Thomas J. Jacksons, the Robert E. Lees, the Patton... The Pershings, you get the idea. The U.S. Army in Iraq has at least twice seized and jailed the wives of suspected insurgents in hopes of leveraging their husbands into surrender, U.S. military documents show. Damn it. Somebody connected to, you know, some sort of manufacturing or something, please. I mean, you know, we'll share the proceeds with you. We need some, you know, rubber foam. Just they need to look like real bricks. But they're made of foam rubber. They can't hurt anything. And, you know, we'll just put, like, the little head-on logo with the headlights and stuff on it. And, you know, we'll give the proceeds to charity or something. But we need to, because every now and then, I need to throw something right now. Did you get that? Did you get that? The U.S. Army in Iraq has at least twice seized and jailed the wives of suspected, not proven, suspected, damn it, suspected insurgents in hopes of leveraging their husbands into surrender. In one case, a secretive task force locked up the young... Oh, God almighty! This makes my eyeballs burn! In one case, a secretive task force locked up the young mother of a nursing baby. In the case of a second detainee, one American colonel suggested to another American colonel that they catch the detainee's husband by tacking a note to the family's door telling him to, quote, come get his wife. Just let it sink in. Wonder how they're spinning this on Flush Flimball and Hannity Job and Falafel Boy. That stupid woman that stuck her fingers in her ears and la 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 while Randy Rhodes was reading the Riot Act to her on C-SPAN a couple of months ago. Wonder how she's handling this story. Yes, dear.
She's got her fingers stuck in her ear and
going la 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 la. Yeah.
They do that all the time. You won't hear it. Are you going to hear this on CNN?
Don't know. Can't hardly stand to watch it anymore.
I wonder if these guys have wives. How would they feel if somebody came and took them?
Naughty, naughty.
Well, it's a point. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Oh, stop with that. Stop with the kumbaya crap, honey.
Oh, honey, I'm not kumbaya. You ought to know
do
that.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Sure, that's the idea, but they're taking the stance of do unto others before, or maybe if they're going to do unto you.
Well, see, that's the thing. We're getting all this business. You know, our enemies, they're uncivilized. They kidnap people. How many times have we done this? We know about two. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Oh. You know, this is another one of those. You know the Nazis used to do this, right?
Oh, he's calling the military a Nazi. Oh, Jesus.
No. Nope. But they did do it. Is it okay to say that they did it? Screw whether that's okay. Is it okay to demand that the people who came up with this plan be taken out and shot? They are war criminals.
He said all the soldiers is war criminals.
No. No, damn it, no.
Well, all's fair in love and war, Bob.
No. War is hell? No. We think that these, you know, we call these people everything. We call the Iraqis and the
insurgents.
You know, the people who don't want us in their damn country. You know, we talk about how barbaric they're, you know, they blow up their own civilians. Let me see if I can just elaborate. If I can even give words to it, I've avoided this story all night long because it just makes me want to. God, it makes me want to vomit. Kidnapping suspected insurgents' wives. You know, there are cultures where if a man was unable to protect his wife against a rapist, he would have to kill himself out of the shame. When they've kidnapped your wife, they've kidnapped your wife, and you're saying, they kidnapped my wife. The American soldiers kidnapped my wife. What are we going to do? Well, I don't know. Write a letter to George Bush. Nah, that ain't going to work. I got an idea. Let's strap a dynamite belt around ourselves. We got nothing left to live for. They took the baby starving because it was nursing when they kidnapped her. Let's just strap on a belt of dynamite and walk up next to the nearest soldier. Doesn't matter if he was in on it. We got... my wife didn't do anything either. Let's just kill him. Let's just kill some. Screw him. Screw me. Life's over. They kidnapped my wife. Is it that hard? What in the... The U.S. military on Thursday freed 5 of what it said were 11 women among the 14,000 detainees currently held in the 2.5-year-old insurgency. All were accused of aiding terrorists, or planting explosives. But an Iraqi government commission found that evidence was lacking. Now, we got to take a break. I got to calm down. You tell me. What the hell do you say about an out-of-control administration? Dig it. They didn't just think this up by themselves. Just like the torture, just like Abu Ghraib, just like the broom handles, it comes from the top down. I'm Bob.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write... Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
State Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member. Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay, he was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Welcome back. Okay, 50 minutes or so to get the burr out from under your saddle, the bee out from under your bonnet. Those little suckers sting. I'm Bob. This is Head On, and been a pretty productive, enjoyable evening getting it off our chest this evening. Back just for a second before we run back to the phones. Background on this Army kidnaps women in Iraq story. You know, being cruel to non-combatant women really doesn't win you any friends among the "we follow the tenets of the Quran" crowd. Now, I realize that here in America you can claim to be a Christian and a follower of Christ and just pee all over every tenet of everything that Jesus ever said and still go to church and, "I'm a Christian, you know, pass the plate." doesn't quite work so well in the heart of the land wherein Islam first arose. It came out of Saudi Arabia and up into the Euphrates and Tigris valleys. Yeah, the cradle of civilization, that whole... And, you know, one of those first things that, before Islam, one of those first cradle of civilization kind of things was, the Old Testament Ten Commandments were stolen from, not stolen, but sort of plagiarized from things that were written in what is now modern-day Iraq. And one of the first rules was thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass, neither covet thou his wife, you know, that kind, or his wife's ass. It's a pretty old standard that you don't go kidnap the dude's wife. Quote, during the pre-operation brief, it was recommended by TF Personnel Task Force that if the wife were present, she be detained and held in order to leverage the primary target's surrender, wrote the 14-year veteran officer. He said he objected, but when they raided the house, the team leader, a senior sergeant, seized her anyway. Quote, the 28-year-old woman had three young children at the house, one being as young as 6 months, and still nursing, the intelligence officer wrote. She was held for 2 days and was released after he complied.
Well, see, Bob, they done give her back. That means, like, they only kidnapped her for 2 days.
Like most names in the release documents, the officer's signature is blacked out on this for-the-record memorandum. And our good friend Hubert sent me a link. I knew the Nazis had done this. Lidice, Czechoslovakia. June 9th. German troops en masse. Most of the villagers had gone to bed. They were woken and made to... See, this was a village that had something to do with the assassination of a Nazi official. They were woken and made to gather in the village square. Women and children were put on one side, and men and boys over 15 were put on the other side of the square. The men and boys were put in farm buildings, while the women and children were locked into the local school. After the villagers had been locked away, military police ransacked the homes once again and took anything of value. All farming tools were taken, and cattle were herded up. Anything of the remotest value was taken. At 0500 the next day, the 198 women and 98 children were put onto lorries and driven away. They were kidnapped, sunshine, just like we're doing in Iraq. Don't tell me there's a difference between 198 women and 98 children and one woman and one child. There is no damned difference. Okay? There is no difference. Those children who were considered suitable for Germanization were picked out and given to SS families. And this is the same thing Bob was talking about a little bit ago. And we hadn't even gotten to this story yet. The men were brought out of the farmhouses and lined up in front of mattresses laid against a wall. The execution squad brought them out in batches of 10. 173 were shot. 198 women, 98 children kidnapped. We're the kidnappers now. You know, where's my right wing? Where's a right wing freak when I need one? I want to have it explained to me how it is that the American military can call itself honorable and decent when orders are coming from the top down to kidnap women who are still nursing little babies. Would Robert E. Lee condone the kidnapping of a nursing mother? Would Ulysses Grant condone the kidnapping of a nursing mother? Now, we know William Tecumseh Sherman would condone the kidnapping of a nursing mother because he was crazy. All right? But would George Washington condone it? Would Andrew Jackson condone it? He's got that whole trail of tears millstone around his neck. Probably not the best example. Oh, well, okay. I guess it's a mixed bag, isn't it? Let's go to... Let's go to Jeff in PA. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hi, Bob. How you doing today?
I'm okay. You?
Well, I've been better.
Yeah, haven't we all?
But, you know, when you started in on a story in the Washington Post, you know, I've got the same sort of feeling about what's being done as you do. But what's really sad is reading foreign press, they were all over this story a year or so ago.
See, I thought I had read this some time back, and sometimes it's sort of an Alzheimer-y thing I feel like I got going on for me, because I can't, did I dream it? Did I really see this? But yeah, it probably showed up in what, the Guardian, the Telegraph.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically, but most of the foreign press had covered it pretty well about a year or so ago.
Boy, you can't slip anything past that Washington Post, can you?
Oh yeah, but just to show you, great minds do think alike. Yeah, the idea of the rubber brick I had thought out of about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I couldn't stand watching the news anymore.
You know, for me, it goes back, and this is a little homage, I guess, Jeff. It goes back for me to being a young man listening to Richard Pryor when he talked about throwing the rubber brick at Jim Brown's head. And I've wanted one to this day.
Yeah, well, hey, it's still a possibility. All I got to do is raise a few dollars to get somebody to actually get them done.
Well, I think we could probably, and you know, I'm not trying to enrich myself, but I think we could create a movement out of these rubber bricks, couldn't we?
Well, sure. I mean, good God, how many hours of Tim Russert or Tweety Bird can you listen to without?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's got to be some engineering involved, Jeff, because they've got to have enough heft to make it from the Lazy Boy to the TV.
No problem. No problem at all.
But just not enough mass to go through the tube.
Right. But yeah, it's definitely a workable product. I have to see what I can do on that.
Okay, great. You know, I'll help in any way that I humanly possibly can.
All right. Hang in there. Have a good weekend.
Gonna try to. You too.
Take care.
Bye now, Jeff. Later. And Benedict? Benedict, our buddy.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Holding in. Holding up. What you got this evening?
Three things.
Okay.
That happened to me.
All right.
Okay, and they all happened right at the beginning of your program. Okay, the first one was that I lost your internet stream.
Really?
Yeah, that happens. And right at the same time, I got booted from the chat room.
It crashed on me, too.
Well, yeah, but the two of them have never crashed on me at the same time. So I tried to get back in, and I couldn't. I mean, obviously I did. But I tried to get back in, and I couldn't. And so, you know, paranoid me, I said, oops, there goes the NSA.
I don't think it's paranoia. You got to wonder.
Well,
that.
You know, they're training us to think that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'm going to bring up NSA.gov, which you mentioned to me before, you know,
yeah,
long time ago. And I brought it up, and it solved a problem for me. I watched all their intros and everything, and I've been trying to take Mike Malloy's reading of 1984 and, you know, cut it down and make a little audio clip of it. And I was wondering, well, do I do it as audio or audio and video? And I said, oh, man, would this NSA site make a great intro?
Oh, wow.
To a video clip of Mike reading this stuff.
Oh, are you working on it? Is it going to happen?
Yeah. In fact, I started pulling up images yesterday and, you know, and I'm saying, you know, how do I get enough images and stuff to really do a video that's worth doing with as good as Mike reads it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, anyways, I called you mainly because of item three.
All right.
Not at exactly the same time I get booted and I lose the stream, but real close, within a couple of minutes, my phone rings. Okay. So anyways, it's Clay Shaw, or at least some polling company, whose computer is polling me about Clay Shaw, who supposedly is my local representative in the House.
No, this is too good.
It gets better.
Okay.
Now, part of my zip code is in Clay Shaw's district, but because of the gerrymandering down here, I actually am not in his district. Just part of my zip code. I mean, my zip code is so screwy, it goes from West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale. It's like 35 miles.
Holy cow.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. That's not the best of it. The best of it is for 10 miles of my district, it is the width of I-95 and its drainage ditches.
Is this like that one mile strip in Texas that runs from Dallas to Austin or whatever?
Well, Dallas to Austin probably is a longer distance, but yeah, it's the same thing. But anyway,
in other words, your district looks like a barbell.
That would be a good description. I mean, one end is a little screwy for a barbell, but yeah, pretty much.
Oh my God.
But anyways, here's the computer talking to me, and they want to ask me two questions. And these days, anybody will listen to me, even if it's a computer.
I know.
Okay, punch one,
you know,
or two.
Yeah, on the weekends, Benedict, I stand out on the porch and scream, okay? I mean,
I try to keep my screams low, but my girlfriend says every now and then I wake up in the night, and I don't.
Done that, too.
Anyway, question one. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Clay Shaw supports the wiretapping of American citizens in the war against terror. Do you support Clay Shaw's opinion on this? Well, answer one, yes. Answer two, no. Well, obviously.
Yeah, two.
Two. So question two comes up. Will I vote for Clay Shaw and his bid for re-election? One, two, and three now. One is yes, two is no, three is unsure. So, I mean, give me a break. I ain't voting for the guy. I couldn't even if I...
Yeah, you're not in his district.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I couldn't, you know, but, I'd like to tell him the truth, but I'm thinking, wait a minute. If I answer no on question two, they're going to discard my answer on question one, so I go to three. I'm unsure.
Yeah. Just a screw with him a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe I've got a chance of my answer getting counted.
Benedict, never mind your answer. At this point, we're worrying about your vote. You're in Florida.
At least I vote on Sequoia machines instead of Diebold.
Right.
You know, I mean, I feel a little better about that. Not much, but a little. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. So we got, I disagree, but I'm still not sure.
Well, I'm thinking about you, pal. Right.
You can still win me over. That's wonderful.
But I mean, my whole point and my real point is, I'm getting a call from Clay Shaw. And forget the fact for a minute, I'm not in this district.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's an accident because I'm close. You know, and he doesn't know. His computers don't know, or whatever. They're calling us, Bob. They're calling us. They're scared about this. If Clay Shaw is, and he's paying for this poll.
Oh yeah. Well, to be honest with you, it sounds like a push poll. Are you sure?
This was not at all a push poll. It was just two generic questions. There was no push to it at all.
Are you sure it was coming from the Clay Shaw people?
That's what the computer said to me. I mean, it sounded very professional.
Frankly, the way it's set up, it sounds like this is from somebody who would be opposing him.
No, it introduced itself as Clay supports this as a necessary tool in our war against terror. Which is, I mean, that's straight out of the...
That's off the Rovian script.
Right. I mean, it read in to me perfect according to Mr. Rove.
Yeah.
You know, but they're calling, and that's the point. They're running scared. This is a big item up there to them, apparently. There's no other reason that Clay Shaw, I mean, he's running for re-election. I mean, we're entering the campaign season.
Well,
why is he going to drop his campaign cash on this unless he cares?
Well, I mean, we're talking about West Palm, and we're talking about Fort Lauderdale. Benedict, is there any possibility that the question was, and you're an introspective thinking kind of guy. Is there any possibility that front end question was designed perhaps for elderly voters in the area to sort of what'd Bush say? Catapult the propaganda?
Okay. Now we have obviously, you know, we have a very large elderly population down here. So I would suspect that any question in a poll like that would be designed with that in consideration. But it just didn't ring to me like it was anything to do with pushing. I mean, it was very generic.
Well, that's maybe they are running scared. I mean, they've got God knows they've got reason to.
That's what I took from them. And I mean, I've never called you before. We shared a lot of emails and stuff like that, chat room. But I've never called you before. But all this stuff happened, and I just said to myself, you know, why did I get that call? Why was that poll even being done? I mean, especially, I mean, we're on the eve, business days at least, of the Alito vote.
Yeah.
And stuff. And
we're also on the eve of hearings into this very issue as well.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of fear up there, even in the GOP. If Clay Shaw is running down here, okay, like I said, and you know, this is a very elderly district. I mean, there's lots of people beside the elderly, but I mean, a lot of people come down here and retire.
Sure.
You know? And, you know, I'm already hearing from them. My mother lives in a retirement community, a very large one, and they're screaming about Medicare Part D, and the walls are caving in.
Well, there's so many ways to look at this issue, because among other things, you know, what you just said, I think plays into it to a certain extent. While it may not have been a push poll, by the same token, if you and you acknowledged early on that your yes answers are going to be segregated from your no answers, your answer, and I mean, you know, the kind of analysis they can run on this kind of stuff.
Well, that's what poll people do for a living. Yeah, I don't blame them for that.
No, not at all. But the whole thing here is on the one hand, you just said the elderly population down there is far more worried about Medicare Part D than they are about the latest Grateful Dead tape from Osama.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
I'd be hard to find anybody down here elderly who even knew about that.
Right. So you know, does this hopefully divert their attention from the Medicare thing? I mean, where was Clay Shaw on that?
Well, Clay Shaw and some Democrats too. I mean,
yeah, sure.
We just had your lovely Senator Byrd. I'm like you. I'm still in shock over it. We got Lieberman voting against and Byrd voting for.
I know. I feel like I just followed Alice down the rabbit hole, and somebody handed me the drink. This bottle, you know.
I just crossed two wires plugged into a socket. I mean, it's going to take me about 3 days to even figure out what all that means.
I know, but the thing is, we got above all, what you're doing is what everybody's got to be doing. It's a chess match. It really is. You got to think with these people 2, 3, 4 moves.
They're 24/7 against you.
Yeah,
they're 24/7, and if you win 24/7, you lose.
Right. Our buddy Wayne frequently says, you know, the Republicans don't have off years.
They don't have off minutes. I mean, you look at Howard Dean. You know, he's getting all this money. He's the best DNC collector in history of DNC and everything. He's not doing what the RNC is doing, but hey, we expect that.
Well, we don't have their money.
Then you start looking at the American Enterprise Institute, Cato, Heritage Foundation, and you start saying, wait a minute, not only are they edging us out in actual campaign contributions, but they're throwing $1 billion more in all these things that aren't even regulated to the first penny.
Oh, I know. You mentioned the American Enterprise Institute. There's another gang out there, Benedict, called the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I guess I heard
of them. I haven't looked into them yet.
Did you follow the story a year or so back? And I know I've mentioned it. Randy's mentioned it. Mike's mentioned it. This story that was coming out of, I think, Duval County, Florida, where the EPA wanted parents to sign up and get a free camcorder and a T-shirt in exchange for spraying Raid on their kids.
Hey. Well, I'll give you a camcorder if you poison your kids.
Okay, so then Congress gets a whiff of that, no pun intended, sure it was. And they turn around and they say,
whiff of the publicity and they ran scared.
And they crafted a law and they passed it over to the EPA and it said, thou shalt not decon the babies.
They got scared. They wouldn't have gotten scared if it didn't get out.
Right.
But they got scared.
But guess what?
Oh, don't tell me they went around it?
This is, I get these, like I said, I don't know who put me on the little right-wing send Bob a press release email list.
Oh, probably Tom Hotman, who gives him $5 a year.
But I'm grateful for it. Subject, press release, EPA makes right decision on pesticide safety studies from the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
Oh, my God.
The Competitive Enterprise Institute commends...
I have to look them up then.
Commends the Environmental Protection Agency for issuing a new rule allowing the use of human volunteers in pesticide safety studies.
You know, when I first heard about that, I don't know, maybe it was you that I heard about it from, or maybe it was someplace else, but it was like, hey, wait a minute, you don't take little black children as test rats.
Right.
For an entire population.
Well, you don't if you're a decent...
Black children, excuse me, they have a few genes, a few that are separate. That's why they have dark skin and I have lighter skin.
Yeah, and but, it's probably, you know, 0.1% of the entire genetic matter in the chromosome pairs.
Exactly. That's why any test results gathered like that would be false. Well, maybe not false, but not applicable to an approval of whatever substance they were testing.
Right. But the problem here is, one, you're dealing with a party for whom a primary spokesman is one William Bennett, who said if we just abort all the black babies, we'll have less crime in America.
Well, they made a lot out of that. It was very stupid of him to say that.
Yeah.
I think, quote, that one thing, I listened to it, and... If you listen to it in the full context, well, it's not quite as bad, but he does.
Yeah, it's still pretty freaking awful.
Stupid statements like that. It's like New Orleans. The guy says, I want my city to be chocolate. You know, that's not what he meant. He wants the people from New Orleans that voted for him to come back because he loves them and grew up there.
Yeah, he wants the people who live there to be able to live there and not have their houses bulldozed.
Well,
which is happening.
I'm already reading stories about all the moneyed people going in and buying up all that trash property. They're not going to be able to come back.
No, they can't.
Going.
There are eviction notices being posted on houses, and people don't, you know, they can't respond within the legal time period.
They can't even find 3,000 of them to give the notices to.
I had a story the other day. There are some 6,000 unidentified bodies, and FEMA's not talking to the Red Cross. The Red Cross isn't talking to FEMA. The state government's not talking to the Red Cross.
And we can't get the CIA and the FBI to communicate with each other.
Yeah, but do you remember when we had the stories right after Katrina, when they were saying, well, praise Jesus, it looks like we haven't lost nearly as many people as it looked like we were. You see how those liberals are out there?
I'll tell you what. We were lucky we lost as few, and I know the number's very large. We're lucky we lost as few as we did. I say that with the reservation that they're still saying there still may be bodies.
Yeah, well, there are, and they're in morgues, and they're being buried in unmarked graves.
We could have lost 10,000 in that city, easy. And
we may have.
It doesn't look like it's going to be that, but that doesn't help you if you're one of the 1,000, 2,000, or 3,000 that went. It doesn't help their families.
I know. And the other part of this EPA study is that they were told not to do this, and they did it anyway. I mean, that's what we're... When you're dealing with a Republican administration, Benedict, this is what you get. You tell them you can't, they do it anyway. You know, it's George Bush in the signing statements. Don't do torture, and he puts a signing statement saying, I'll do it if I damn well please.
Did you read the Find Law article on the signing statements?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Bush's use of them is like through the roof compared to everything back to, I think they said, Madison.
Yeah, everything with him is through the roof. I mean, this is a made up presidency. This is a fantasy presidency. This is and remember, the Constitution's a GD piece of paper.
Yeah,
I mean,
mine. It may be his GD piece of paper, but it ain't mine.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've got a. There was a. Did you see the full page ad in the what was it? The New York Times today?
No, I haven't.
ImpeachBush.org, because the Constitution can't defend itself.
Well, if I remember correctly, didn't he say something about soaring to defend it?
According to Scott McClellan, he didn't. He said he'd defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Never mind that it's not in the Constitution, but that's the oath he thinks he took.
Well, his oath is in the Constitution, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it says.
Shall protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, not the people. The people will defend themselves.
Yeah, and there's nothing about protecting us. There's nothing about holding back the boogeyman. Absolutely not.
The wonderful National Guard people who signed up for some education and maybe helping places like New Orleans and stuff who now find themselves some foreign land.
Yeah, and coming home with ugly cases of leishmaniasis from drinking tainted water that Halliburton... Oh, God.
The ones who come home alive.
Right. Not the ones who come home in cardboard boxes carried off by forklifts.
No, we can't take pictures of them.
Benedict, this is your first call. I hope it won't be the last.
Well, I will try again. It's been wonderful talking with you.
You take care now.
Yeah, say hi to Alice for me, and thank you.
I sure will.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Great weekend to you. Okay, bottom of the hour break, then let's come back and take it home. Phones are more than open to you. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. Daggum, this is fun. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels. $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
Okay, I think this is the auctioneering part of the show, because I got a bunch of stuff that I can't let lay around all weekend. Let's start in Atlanta. I'm Bob Kincaid. The ACLU of Georgia released copies of government files on Wednesday that illustrate the extent to which the FBI, the DeKalb County Division of Homeland Security, and other government agencies have gone to compile information on Georgians suspected of being threats simply for expressing controversial opinions. Two documents relating to anti-war and anti-government protests, and get this is the fun part, and a vegan rally. Prove the agencies have been spying on Georgia residents unconstitutionally. More than two dozen government surveillance photographs show 22-year-old Caitlin Childs of Atlanta. This is from WXIA-TV in Atlanta. Caitlin Childs of Atlanta, a strict vegetarian, and other vegans picketing out against meat eating in December 2003. They staged their protest outside a honey-baked ham store on Buford Highway in DeKalb County, know it well. An undercover DeKalb County Homeland Security detective was assigned to conduct surveillance of the protest and the protesters. We haven't gotten to the good part yet. And take the photographs. The detective arrested Childs and another protester because Childs approached the car and wrote down the license plate number of his unmarked government car on a piece of paper. He went up to her and said, "Give me the paper." She said no. They arrested her. "Your papers are not in order." You get this? Do you understand? Of course you understand. We have not heard a single government surveillance of a pro-war group, Caitlin Childs said. Well, of course not. The cowardly Bush administration, they're not interested. They're not going to surveil pro-war groups. Hell, there are militias out in the wild, wild west and north and south and east sitting around, having target practice at little, silhouettes wearing yarmulkes, for God's sakes. And the Bush administration doesn't give a damn about them. That's okay. On the other hand, if you're speaking up for broccoli, you're a potential terrorist, because we all know, that George Bush Sr., we know he hates broccoli. God knows when little Georgie was growing up, he probably just whipped the kid for asking for broccoli, let alone the cheese sauce to go on it. The Bush, probably hollandaise. Spying. And remember, it's your money. This is your tax dollars at work. They're spying on the Al-Qaeda vegetarians. That was my head hitting the microphone. An email from our buddy David in South Carolina. "I'm disgusted. For 10 years or so, I've been trying to get our side to invest in the infrastructure that would put us on equal footing with the dark side." Well, not philosophically, I'm sure. "I don't even get a coherent response from our leaders. They're obsessed with running 60s-style campaigns while our opponents have successfully gained control of every single news network in this country." Oh, David, it's not just you. We've got old-line, classic Democratic politicians up here that still think they're going to win elections with emery boards with their names on them and little bags of sunflower seeds. Whatever the Democrats do, they will be destroyed in the media. I'm sick of it, David says. Dean won't come here because we have a governor's race and the Democratic candidates don't want to appear too liberal by associating with Dean. Oh, God. Somehow, some way, we're going to have to take the Democratic Party back. Well, listen, the filing period ends here in West Virginia tomorrow. I don't know what it is in other states. May I make an humble suggestion? Our friend Wayne mentioned a while back that he was going to run for Democratic Executive Committee in his home county. That's where it starts. Honest to God, that's where it starts. Run for your county Democratic Executive Committee, especially if you are in a rural county. Odds are, just like the poll workers there, and this is no slur, please understand it's not. Just like the poll workers, I go to vote here in Fayette County, West Virginia, and the same 80-year-old ladies have been working the polls for the last 60 years. They've been working the polls since they were old enough to do so. That's dedication on a monumental scale. But the fact of the matter is, get some new blood in, especially in your rural, lower, smaller, less populated counties. You've got a chance to really make a difference there. Here's the ad: Want to remain a constitutional democracy? Join the People's Lobby for Impeachment. Demand Congress impeach Bush. Send a letter today by going to impeachbush.org. The Constitution cannot defend itself. The people must act. Oh, and here's a good one. Now that we've got everybody in the world hoodooed into believing that Iran wants a nuclear weapon, even though they've never even said they do. Headline, Germany may need own nuclear weapons. You up for that? No, I'm not.
He pissed off that woman, didn't he?
Yeah, he pissed off that woman, Angela Merkel. Germany may need to build its own nuclear weapons to counter the threat of nuclear bombs falling into the hands of a terrorist state, a former German defense minister said Thursday. We need a serious discussion over how we can react to a nuclear threat by a terrorist state in an appropriate manner, and in extreme cases with our own nuclear weapons, said Rupert Scholz, who served as defense minister from 1988 to 1989. He just happens to be a member of Chancellor Angela Merkel's Christian Democratic Union. Damn, Agnes, you're so good. Germany may need own nuclear weapons. Well, how do you like that? Let's go to the phones. Bruce is with us. Hey, Bruce, you're head on.
Good evening, Air Bob.
How you doing, mein Freund?
I'm doing okay, but, I'm thinking that... the last time Germany had lots of weapons, it didn't go so well.
Yeah, not so much. Great toy makers, great clock makers, God knows, great car makers. But when you piss them off, it's a real problem.
It doesn't work out too well. Well, that's not what I was calling, although that's,
It did the same thing to you that it did to me, didn't it? Oh, hell.
Oh, not again. Well, okay. Well, so really what I was calling about was kind of like just to piggyback on what you were saying about the Democratic Party and how, it's really, I hear a lot of people who sit back and fuss, a lot.
Yeah.
About what's going on, but yet when push comes to shove, do they show up and do they vote or do they show up to their county meetings or do they take an active role in, their local infrastructure because that's where the changes are made.
Yeah.
It's my belief, anyway, that any political organization has to begin from a grassroots perspective.
That's right.
You don't
build a pyramid with starting with the capstone.
That's right.
If you can get on your county Democratic Executive Committee, for God's sakes, do it. Because then you can look at candidates and say, I got nothing for you if you can't do A, B, C, D, E. Here's the freaking platform. You support it.
Exactly. Well, I did want to kind of mention something else too. That there's you mentioned your what are you doing on Tuesday night, Bob?
Tuesday night, the State of the Union starts at 9 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
And we'll do the regular show from 7 to 9, and we'll sort of have Dear Leader running in the background. it'll be kind of like calling a horse race, I guess.
You mean a donkey race? Oh, no, not a donkey. That would be an elephant race.
Yeah.
I like elephants. You know, I want to take it away from the Republican Party. They're just not allowed to have that noble beast as their symbol anymore. You know, banana slugs are open. Slime molds. If you recall, there were a couple of scientists a year or so ago that named a brand new slime mold after George Bush.
Did they really?
I kid you not. If I'm lying, I'm dying.
I've got to look that one up.
Are you calling me on this?
No.
You talking to me?
No, but I really want to see who did it, and like, you know, and try to get them on All Things Reconsidered.
Yeah, it's like a 9 million letter long the Latin taxonomy, and the end of it is George Bushiensis.
Does it leave a trail? Oh, man.
We're going into the weekend in great fashion here, Bruce.
Well, you know, if you can't laugh about this stuff, man, what's there left to do, right?
Right. Well, you start with the laughter. That's where it starts.
Oh, man. Well, you know, the other thing, too, I just wanted to, I mean, I was in the, you know, if anyone's not in the Tom Hartman chat room, go there. But I was in the chat room there. I was talking with someone who apparently has come from the Bob Kincaid message boards.
HeadOnRadio.com. We're sorry.
And you know, it's really amazing to me how
you can catch all kinds of stuff going to that website, Bruce. I mean, I love it, but you know,
these guys they come and they argue about stuff. And they state all these negative falsehoods, and then when you call them on it, they just change the subject.
Oh, I used to have to deal with this dude once a night over in Beckley.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And you know, sit there and pin him in a corner, and he, you know, and it's just this.
Is this after the show, or?
No. Hey, stop it. You know, you think you got, and then, you know, just won't answer a question, won't answer a straight question, and finally you just go, oh well, whatever. But yeah, I'm sorry.
No. It's good fun. I'm enjoying myself. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, just kind of this. Yeah, it's good fun the same way that watching monkeys throw poop in the zoo is fun. I mean.
Wait a minute. You mean the U.S. Senate? Oh, God.
Oh, we'll be here all the week. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff.
All right, Bob. Well, listen, man, you have a wonderful weekend.
I'm going to try. Well, yeah, I mean, you know where we'll be 10 o'clock Saturday night and Sunday night.
Right on. Well, we'll be there with bells on even, perhaps. Cowbells.
All right. Take it easy, Bruce.
All right, you too.
Bye now.
Night.
That's our pal Bruce Birch. Half of the John and Bruce duo that is Fourth Estate Radio, 10 o'clock Saturday night. That's Eastern Time, fourthestateradio.com. And the Meister himself of all things reconsidered Sunday nights at 10 Eastern Time. Again, their website is allthingsreconsidered.org. Another program, another fine liberal program, both of them streamed through the good offices of our pal Ben Birch at whiteRoseSociety.org, the hardest working man in internet liberal talk, bar none. Let's see. More happy news. Drug makers to cut off some free prescriptions. Just trying to catch up with the stuff that, this will be old by Monday. Several of the nation's largest drug manufacturers say they will no longer provide free or discounted medications to low-income elderly and disabled patients because, by God, they should be covered by the new Medicare drug benefit. Here's the part they missed. For about 1 million Americans with serious illnesses, such as, little things like AIDS and cancer, patients who last year relied on the pharmaceutical industry's giveaways, their Medicare coverage is going to cost them $3,600 this year. When do we get to beatify and canonize and whatever sanctify the CEO of GlaxoSmithKline and all those evil bastards? By the way, an email from our pal Andy in Wales. I said when it was said that story had been in the about the Americans kidnapping the women had been in the European press for a while, Andy chimed in. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. He says, it was in the Times and in the Guardian last year and crops up every so often. He says, tell you, though, man, if they took my girl, I'd find a way to kill them in their thousands, as anyone would. He says, my blood is boiling. I think I got that right. Does it sound okay?
Andy does it better.
We'd love to hear Andy do it. But I mean, this is West Virginia. We're our little haven in the hills here. My God, you steal a chicken, and there are places in West Virginia where they'll come kill you. And we don't understand why they're blowing themselves up in a rack when we kidnap their daggum wives? Morons. We are being led by morons. From the Independent. If suntan oil can change the sex of fish, what can it do to you? Spare a thought for the male horny head turbo, for despite its name, it's changing gender, and the sunscreens that symbolize bronzed sex appeal may be partly to blame. Scientists have found that male horny head turbo and English sole feeding near sewage outfalls on the California coast are being feminized, and a chemical found in sunscreens is the likely culprit. Oh, goody. Poll, most think Bush is failing second term. The majority of Americans are more likely to vote for a candidate in November's congressional elections who opposes President Bush, and 58% consider his second term a failure so far. I love watching comatose people wake up. We knew and we were moonbats. And we were conspiracy theorists, for God's sakes. Back in 2000 when we said, he screwed up everything he's ever touched. I mean, you know, he had to have his grades fixed to get out of Andover. He branded people at Yale. He was a party boy at Yale. He got into Harvard on affirmative wallet action. You know, his claim to fame with the Texas Rangers was trading Sammy Sosa. He started Arbusto Energy on Bin Laden money. He was the only guy in West Texas who could dig a hole and not find oil. He rolled that over into Spectrum 7 Energy and then sold his stocks when he tanked that thing, too. He sat on boards of directors and said, well, I'm not really interested anymore. He's not George Bush, he's George Costanza. With a little more hair, maybe. We told you, comatose America. God dang it, we told you he was a screw-up. But did you listen? No, you said, he's a godly man. I guess he is, because, I mean, you know, what do George Bush and Billy Graham have in common? They can both get 60,000 people to stand up at once and yell, Jesus Christ! Thanks, everybody, all week long. Thank you for your calls, for your emails, for your support, for your kind thoughts, for the time that you spend with Agnes and me. It means the world. The show, of course, was produced tonight by my lovely and talented wife, Agnes. Brian Reznor announces the program. Randy Kerbway is the engineer who made everything, all the little technical things go and put all the wires in the right places. Our dear, dear friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, the hardest working man in liberal talk, archives this program and maintains the stream at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and he never sends a bill. He has a fundraising effort underway now. Do the right thing. The program is brought to you this and every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they are building the American dream. And always, 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 oh, by the way, always, RMR. It's all for you.